Our reading today is excerpts from the book of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. The captain came and said to him, "What are you doing, sound asleep? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps the God will spare us a thought so that we do not perish." The sailors said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots so that we may know on whose account this calamity has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us why this calamity has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you?" "I am a Hebrew," he replied. "I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were even more afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them so. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out upon the dry land. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I love that we have these billboards on the interstate that have texts on them. I know that they're there to share emergency messages so that all drivers have the same information, but the clever sayings that they have on them often make me smile. "Do it for Dad," it says this weekend. "Do it for Dad, buckle up." Yeah. Jonah could have seen a billboard similar to this when the word of the Lord came to him, chapter 1, verse 1. It would have said, "Do it for Dad. Go to Nineveh." Yeah, right. It came off just as good as that. Let us pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, we pray. Amen. Is it connected now? Yes. So Jonah is one of the smallest books in this Bible. It has the least connections with God, some would say, and the least historical significance that you might find in this whole book. It has only 4 chapters. And yet it's the book that I keep returning to. I keep coming back to this book. I don't know if it's the 4 chapters part or that it's one story that's all self-contained, you can get the whole thing, or it's the use of animals protecting people that draws me in. Maybe it's the comical ways in which I like to think about Jonah being spewed up onto dry land. But this story captures me. And whenever I have a break in a sermon cycle, or I need a break from the sacred text, like sort of a break but not totally a break, I turn back to Jonah. There's this reading about this man, and you can argue if he's real or made up. But he was this man who was called by God, and he didn't want to go. And that resonates with me. Hearing about his adventures and about how we can read his whole story in this one sitting, right? I can just sit down and get through all 4 chapters. It gives my spirit and my head this place to connect and a fun place to be for a little while. As well as it gives me a chance to remember that not all who are called serve. And some people need at least a second calling or more before they step up. When I think about being called, about that language that we use in the Methodist Church of being called by God, I think about showing up. Who shows up for God? And I immediately think of Jonah, right? Don't you? He ran away, right? I immediately think of Jonah. And I also think of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. I shared that with you a few months back, about 16 months ago. I shared with you about Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and how people give him such a bad rap, you know? But he showed up. He showed up so big that he climbed a tree so he could see Jesus, right? He showed up. The stories of Zacchaeus and Jonah, they come together with this concept that they don't get it right the first time. And I resonate with that too. For Jonah, in this story, we get to hear about how God calls people, regular people. We get to hear about how God is speaking. And we learn that God is still speaking. At least back in Jonah's day, God was still speaking. But I believe that to be true today. I believe that God is still speaking today. The UCC had that as their tagline a few years back. And I thought, oh, right on. Right on. Yeah, God is still speaking. Right? The divine is still here. The movement, the presence of the Holy Spirit is still active in this world today. Yeah. And I think maybe it goes without saying then, but if God is still speaking, we should still be listening. They never said that part, but I think that's maybe implied. If God is still speaking, we should still be listening. Would you agree? Yeah. If the Creator, the Holy of Holies, the very divine, is utilizing enough energy to speak to us in a way that we could be understood, that we could understand, then we should put forth at least a little bit of energy and try to listen. So how do we do that? I'm not quite sure, but I looked in the Bible and I found in Psalms there's some good ideas. It says, be still and know. Be still and wait patiently. Be quiet. Be quiet, be still, and know. Wait. I don't like the wait patiently part, so I looked for one more and I found, watch for God in a dream, in a vision of the night. Watch for God. That's active. If you're watching, you're doing something, right? So maybe that's what Jonah is really doing at the beginning of this story. Many say that Jonah is running away from God, that's what's happening in the very beginning. But maybe Jonah is just looking for God in the quiet. And maybe where he was just too noisy. So he was looking for God. Maybe a quiet place so he could hear God. But let's read it. It says, Abby read it to us. She said, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Here's the part, right? But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid his fare and he went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. See, he was just looking for a quiet place, right? Maybe not. But I still wonder when he ran in the opposite direction from where God was calling him to go. I wonder if God knew that Jonah was going to do that. If God knew that what God was asking of Jonah was just too much, or that Jonah wasn't ready. Right? If this all-knowing God knew that this free-willing Jonah wasn't going to listen to the request. And I wonder if that's what God was really hoping for. Because in all of that running, in that fleeing, Jonah met more people who were not believers, and he possibly converted them. We always consider that Nineveh is the big reward, right? That big city, the big victory, the one that needed to be saved, right? You can hear how sinful they are. Some people have made correlations in our own world today. They could name for you a place that they feel is like a sin city, right? Where you could just go and like everything is there, right? Nineveh being converted, being saved, those people living, that's the big victory in the book of Jonah, right? Spoiler alert, but that's what happens. The people of Nineveh were saved. But what if these boat folks that Jonah got to live with for a short time on this boat, what if them being saved was the victory? They were afraid. They were scared of the storms. They reacted in the only way they knew how. They called out to their gods, save us, please, save us. Right? It didn't work. And when it didn't work, they did what they knew to do, right? They lightened their load. They threw things overboard, hoping that the ship would stay afloat. If I can't get relief this way, then lighten my load, right? But no good result came of that either. And so they decided to cast lots. They threw the dice to see whose fault it was. Whose fault is this? It was Jonah's fault, and he knew it. He had already told them he was running away from his God, right? He knew he was the reason, and so he knew that his job was to do whatever they asked of him. And so they said, what your job is to stop this natural disaster. You, one little human, stop this natural disaster. And he called, please call on your God. And so that's what Jonah did, right? That's what Abby read for us, right? Jonah said, oh God, I'm sorry, I ran away. No, no. Instead of going to that trusted relationship, I mean, it had to be a trusted relationship if he could recognize God's voice telling him to do something, right? But instead of going back to that and saying, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Shucks. Can I have another chance? Instead of turning to God, he said, throw me in the water. Throw me in the water. Throw me into the sea, and the sea will quiet down for you. I promise this will work. And you know what? It did work. He knew he was the reason, so he would be the sacrifice. But you know what? The other men didn't want to do that at first. It says that. They said, no, we'll just try it ourselves, right? We're strong enough. We're smart enough. We've been through things like this before. We got a lot of gods out here. Let's do what we can do. And they tried, and it didn't work. Everything they tried didn't work. Can you imagine everything you try not working? And you have nothing left to do. But see, they knew the same thing that we know. If at first you don't succeed, try again, right? Or the way my 4-year-old puts it, I do it myself. I do it myself. And it didn't work. They ended up tired, exhausted, still scared in the midst of this disaster. They thought going it alone with no umbrellas, no protection, just like us, right? No ability sometimes to even hear or work with our neighbors. How does that go for you? The same as it went for them. Yeah. So Jonah said, I told you, throw me in. And they did. And here's the kicker. The verse that I didn't put in your scripture. Here's the kicker. So they picked Jonah up, and they threw him into the sea. And the sea ceased from its raging. That should be the victory, right? All those men were saved. No. Then the men feared the Lord even more. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. I got to be honest, I skip over that part quite a bit. I jump right into that belly of the whale part, right? And the vomiting up of Jonah. I really love that part. There's a great video that just shows you how the... And they just do it a couple times so you really get the feeling of what it feels like to have a man spit out of a fish's belly onto the dry land, right? When I read Jonah, that's what I skip to, right? That Jonah was saved by this creature. And I skip to the part about Nineveh being saved and all those people and how Jonah sat with them in sackcloth and ashes and how great that felt. But maybe this is the real kicker in this book. Then the men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows. I like to skip to the grace and the mercy part. But maybe this is the part that matters. More people were added to the number that day. More people were added to the number. It wasn't easy, right? I'm sure they would have preferred to not have the storm in the sea and have to throw a guy overboard, right? But they did what was hard, and it changed their life. Jonah was what we call an unlikely prophet, one that ran away from his call, that offered people life because of it. Made me wonder this day if you've ever thought about that idea that someday you might get to sit face to face with God and that you might get to ask God a question or two. I wonder if you have a list of those. Oh, I'd love for you to read my strong teenage girl list of those questions. Oh, yeah. Some of them I still have on my list, but one that I've added to my list in my adulthood is, how did you feel when Jonah ran away? How mad were you? Like super mad, kind of mad, a little bit mad, but you still get dessert, you know? And then I'd ask God, did the whale forgive you for having to be the host of that person for 3 days? I mean, can you imagine? 3 days of company, stinking company, who was unwanted, uninvited, and made their house within you, right? And the third question I'd ask God is, did the shipmates really become believers after that encounter? And was that really your goal? This story can be comforting to some. Yay, the whole city was saved, right? It can be enraging to others. How could God use someone that runs away, huh? Right? And that smells like that, right? A story like this can cause you to believe in God a little bit more or a little bit less, to be quite honest. But for me, it's a story that I can return to, that I can pick apart and wonder, where is God and how is God changing things and how can I be more like Jonah or less like Jonah? What do I need to do when God calls me? For you, I don't know. It might not be this story. Maybe for you, you really don't like it and you really hate the fact that I've said throw up in so many different ways today. Yeah. But find that book that you return to, that story, that piece of your faith, that grounding scripture. Find whatever it is and take a time out. Hopefully not in the belly of a whale. But take a time out and encounter God. I pray this summer that you can do that. I pray that you will know that it's okay to be afraid. And that there'll be strength that shows up in unlikely places. I pray that you can find what it is that will remind you that you can do hard things. You can. And I pray that when you need to step away, that you do. And it might stink for a little bit, and that's okay, because it might be worth it. Turn like Jonah did. Be thankful, repent, sit with the people. That's what happens in the end of the story. He sits with them. He doesn't come in and yell at them or preach at them or tell them what to do. He sits with them in sackcloth and ashes. He tells them about his God. I'm thankful for this book that's included in our sacred text, even if people are still arguing about whether it belongs there or not. Even though people are still arguing about whether Jonah was a real prophet or if it's just implied, if he's made up or real. I'm thankful that this story is here, and I still feel really bad for the fish. I like that there's a reminder for me that it's not too late for me to repent, to sit with those who are trying, to recognize that we may mourn at times, and that's okay, and that even in our running away from what we believe God has called us to do, we can still be missionaries. My hope for you this day is that the message that God sends you are clear as those light-up boards on the interstate. Do it for Dad, right? Clear. I pray that you are safe in your trying, that you keep listening, that you be attentive, and that you do your best to help others do the same. May all of your running to or fro be blessings unto God this day. Amen.